I wanted to include just a little snippet, but I daren't spend too much time on it. It occurred when Sanjay had returned back from his mission to try and secure peace, which was a bit of a joke, and he was had a quite a big debriefing by Dhritarashtra. And at one stage, Dhritarashtra said to him, I want to have a private conversation just with you, just a chat with you. Well, Sanjay said, no, I don't want that. And I want Vyasa, that's his father, the seer, Vyasa, to be with us, and also Gandhari, because Sanjay knew from the past that if he had bad news for the old king would bear a bit of a grudge and get all grumpy. Anyway, they had the meeting, and immediately Dhritarashtra starts off with the old tune. What is the standing of their army compared with us? How will they fare with us? Do you think they will win over us? Are we stronger than them, or are they stronger than us, and so forth? Anyway, Vyasa says, tell him. And so instead of talking about all the army and things, Sanjaya says, Krishna is in charge, is the Lord of all. He's the supreme being. No one will ever conquer him. And then the blind king says, well, how do you know about that? And so Sanjaya says, well, my yoga, my spiritual development is higher than you. And through my devotion and knowledge of the scriptures, certainly I know about this. So the old king starts flapping around, and he's Duryodhana's fell nearby. He says, Duryodhana, immediately make peace and seek forgiveness from Krishna. And so Duryodhana says, huh, I'm not going to make any peace with him. Even he conquered the whole world, I never come and see him and make peace with him. And then the blind king, he turns to Gandhari, his wife, and says, look what your son's evil son has done. Anyway, there we go. Let's get back to business. You may remember that, in fact, he spent the night with Vidura before the actual assembly meeting and the actual negotiations were to start. So the following morning, he got up quite early, awoken as usual by the singing of bards and the chanting of the Vedas by the Brahmins and so forth, and of course some conches and drums and flutes and anything like that. While he was really getting through his ablutions, he finished them and he started giving worship to the fire and the sun. Duryodhana arrived in his chariot, and after a little while he joined Duryodhana in his own chariot. Duryodhana came behind him and they proceeded towards the great hall, and it was really quite a ceremonial procession. They had of course their own support forces, a couple of thousand of men, but the whole town had come out again to come and see Krishna. It was very jollity, a lot of flutes, a lot of conches, a lot of drums, a lot of noise, young folk and old folk, many thousand walking by his chariot. It really was like a state procession. And as they came into the hall, all the kings were lined up there. Krishna took the hand of Vidura and he took the hand of Sataki, smiling. He went into the hall and there he paid homage and due respects in the right order of things to the blind king and all the others present. Great big gathering there. And then Krishna noticed that in actual fact, the rishis, the holy men, the seers, were coming down to join the meeting. So he said to the blind king, we are now being joined by a whole lot of seers. We can't sit down until they come. Would you please get chairs for them? So gold-plated chairs with studded diamonds and so forth were put out ready for the seers, and they sat down. And when they sat down, then the whole community, Krishna told them, of course, the whole community sat down. Vidura sat next to Krishna, Sataki on his other side, and Kritavarma, poor chap, he was the other commander, the Bhoja, the Vrishri commander, remember? They got a stool for him, but it was covered in a very nice silk covering. And opposite them was a double chair where Duryodhana and Karna sat. Duryodhana wasn't surly, but he was pretty indifferent to things. Now, you may remember at the time when Krishna was asking how, getting guidance from the Pandava brothers and Sataki and Draupadi on the negotiations, all the conversations were directed straight about Duryodhana. He'd done this, he'd done the other, and this and the other should be done to him. And a little earlier on the Mahabharata, Krishna tells us about the process that one should adopt for negotiations. He pointed out that there were four elements of a negotiation. The first was flattery, then bribery, then threats, and then retribution. Very much in line, remember, of Yudhishthira and the canine fighting dogs, two dogs fighting over, the same process. And in fact, those who've been involved in negotiation know that if you don't, even nowadays, it's really very much the makeup of a good negotiation. So many silly people will miss the first two elements, and the whole negotiation is so much harder. If you get the whole pattern, it oils the whole negotiation. And we'll see later on, in fact, how Krishna brings that into effect. Anyway, he opened up, there was dead silence, and he got up before the kings and he paid homage, as I say earlier, as he should have been. But instead of actually mentioning anything about Duryodhana, he went right over to the heads of Duryodhana and his gang of four and talked directly to Dhritarashtra and the kings that were present. And immediately he went straight in. He said, "May there be peace amongst the Pandavas and the Kauravas. I've simply come for that and no more." And then he expanded it. He started saying what a great nation the Kaurava nation was and how that their moral standards, their conduct, their good qualities of compassion and sympathy to others made them stand out as a nation. In fact, not as a nation, but as the greatest nation. He said to the old king how his sons and all those people in the nation should actually obey him and be obedient to him. And then he went on in some detail to point out that it was the law, the divine law, which had been agreed between the two parties that should now be put into effect. And the promise of the land being returned to the Pandavas should come into effect. And then he explained in a lot of detail how the two sides together, without question, would produce the greatest nation on earth at that time. If the Pandavas and if Duryodhana and his brothers and Dhritarashtra worked together, then they would have a nation equal to none. And then he turned to Dhritarashtra and said, "The Pandavas came to you as orphans. They were your brother's children, and therefore they are your children, and you should look upon them with great compassion and bring them up with love and concern and so forth, and they shouldn't have had to have suffered so much as they have had, and the kingdom should be returned with enormous benefits to you and to your sons. You should steady your sons. If you do that, then I will ensure that the Pandavas will in fact comply with all that's necessary for the two parties to work together and to be together harmoniously." And the old king had a bit of a stab of conscience, because he knew jolly well he'd acted meanly towards his brother's children, and a tear could be seen coming out of his eyes when he realized he just had done the wrong thing. Anyway, after that, that mentioned the whole bunch of rishis were there. About three of them got up, including Narada, to actually say the same thing: come together, work together, peace together, not the bloodshed and the annihilation of the whole of the Kuru nation that would take place if there was war. After that, Dhritarashtra asked Krishna if he would talk direct to Duryodhana and try and get through to him. Duryodhana had been indifferent. He'd had his leg stretched out a bit and his sandaled foot was just sort of playing on the ground, and his eyes were not really looking at all as to what was going on. He was showing indifference, in fact. And so Krishna brought again the same sort of theme, but it had little effect upon him. He really didn't really take much notice. And then after that, both Bhishma got up and supported the whole concept of how essential it was to have the priests and how sinful it would be to have war and all the bloodshed that would come about. And as always, Drona popped up and said the same sort of thing as Bhishma had said. Then Dhritarashtra actually pleads direct with Duryodhana, asking him to meet up with Yudhishthira. And again, there's no response whatsoever from Duryodhana. You know, you could see the impatience, frustration, and anger building up into Duryodhana. And he got up and he said, "Why is everyone blaming me? Everyone is turning against me. I haven't done anything wrong here whatsoever. The gaming, the Pandavas, Yudhishthira, they didn't have to come to the gaming. They didn't have to play dice. Now they've lost the game. And certainly there's no reason why they should have the kingdom at all. And if it came to fighting, certainly we would win the war." And then he enumerated, there was Kripa and there's Bhishma and there's Drona as great heroes. And he pointed out that the armies that they had amassed to fight any war were a third larger than the Pandava armies. To this, Krishna got up and mockingly said to him, "Certainly, you will have what you want. You will have your war." And he went through all the things that Duryodhana said, "Fool, you've done this, you've done that," to Draupadi, to the Pandavas, your time will soon come. Well, you will have all you want." In other words, the war. Just after this, Dushasana, the second brother to Duryodhana, leaned over to him and said, "You know, we could well be captured by the Kauravas." In other words, all the assembly there had wanted peace. They didn't. And there's a feeling Dushasana thought that they would be bound and they would be held by the blind king against their will. So in fact, they went out pretty quickly. They'd actually plotted earlier on, you know, to capture Krishna. They floated the idea to Dhritarashtra at a meeting they'd had, and he was disgusted. Bhishma was absolutely disgusted too. He walked out of the meeting, but they'd actually plotted it. And so they said, when they went outside, when they met with each other, they said, "We must put our plan into action quickly, because if we don't, we may find that Krishna beats us to it and actually has us bound and put into prison." Well, I'm sorry, my time is up. We will see how things get on next time, if you have been. Thanks very much for listening.